The endless parade of time. Who can say what fruits the future will see ripen? We can only keep looking towards
tomorrow's world with Isla Christensen and Stella Huggins on 95BFM.
This week, Stella and Isla give each other a wake-up call on how bad their memory recall can actually be, investigating common misconceptions about how human memory operates, brain structures responsible for this, and evidence that says humans overestimate their ability to remember. Tomorrow's World reminds us all to use the COVID Tracer app. Here they are now.
Hi, Earthlings.
Hey, Earthlings. We can't do our usual simultaneous hello because our internet won't line up. Sorry about that.
Sorry, guys, but welcome back to the segment where we talk science and society.
I'm Stella.
And I'm Isla.
And this is Tomorrow's World, the segment focusing on how we, the individuals, are impacted by and can influence the world around us.
Last time, we took a deep dive into the future of our oceans.
We interviewed Lynn Hoffman, Senior Lecturer and Director of Future Ocean Research at Otago University, who talked to us about her research with phytoplankton.
We learnt that every second breath we take is thanks to the oxygen produced by phytoplankton, and that there are both natural methods and potential technologies that can sequester carbon into our seas.
This week, we've been somewhat inspired by the recent New Zealand lockdown, and we're going to chat human memory.
And I'll be the first to admit that I struggled to write a list of all the places I had been. Between my uni schedule and Bandcamp records, I had a good idea, but it had me asking if only there was some way that I could have a record of all the places and times I'd been somewhere. And then I thought, oh wait, that does exist.
Now, remembering things isn't easy, and it's common to not really think about why this may be. Most people perceive memory as being like a filing system, where something happens, your brain goes, gotcha, and then it's tucked away in a special place for later, where you can replay it like a movie.
Now, I blame SpongeBob for that scene where he burns all his memory files for that misconception.
Well, in reality, neuropsychologists believe that memory operates by a bunch of different mechanisms, depending on what kind of stimulus you're dealing with.
There's multiple brain structures involved in memory, namely the amygdala, the cerebellum, and the prefrontal cortex and the hippocampus.
Shaped like a cinnamon scroll, that description is courtesy of Professor Ian Kirk at the University of Auckland, who lectures many undergraduate psychology courses, the hippocampus is totally major.
And to break it down even further, there's multiple types of memory, like the short and the long term, the working memory and more. And even those broad kinds have more subtypes.
The type of memory that pertains to using the COVID Tracer app is called episodic memory, which describes what happens to you and specific life events.
Like walking around campus or meeting a friend in the quad.
The default mode network is a set of regions that show more activity during states of rest than when we're doing tasks.
And it supports the episodic memory by juggling thoughts about the past, the present, the future, and about what other people are thinking or feeling.
It's involved in what's called the constructive memory framework, which was first put forward by Moscovich et al. In the mid-90s and elaborated on by Schachter et al. In the late 90s. It's a hypothesis with considerable evidence behind it that says that memories aren't stored in isolated regions of the brain, but instead are distributed across it.
And now this sounds kind of weird when you first think about it, but when you think about how your brain operates in real time, I think it makes more sense.
So as I'm talking to Isla right now, a huge amount of brain is being used up. My frontal, temporal, and parietal lobes are figuring out what I want to say. My motor cortex is moving my mouth accordingly, as well as the fact that I'm listening to her when she speaks and staring at the Zoom background on my laptop. All of that is a big old team effort by the brain, not to mention what I think or feel about the scenario, which plays a part in memory too.
Instead of our brains remembering this as one big lumped memory and putting it somewhere to retrieve later, the constructive memory framework says that these details are stored in the appropriate locations. For example, sensory information about what you smell, like my instant coffee in front of me, is being stored in the olfactory cortex.
The handy hippocampus's job in all of this is encoding or tagging these details as being part of the same episode. So when it comes to having to remember something, these details are integrated and you experience episodic memory.
Now that's an awful lot of information that I ironically don't know if I'll remember. But the general idea is that memory is a super flexible process and it isn't just the job of one brain region.
And that's really helpful in a lot of instances. For example, one school of thought goes that this process gives rise to our imaginations. And while that adds to an unruly amount of SpongeBob references in this episode, it's a pretty groovy idea.
It is groovy. And it can also mean that because info about the past is stored all over that lump in your skull, that the process of retrieval or remembering can easily fail.
At the point of encoding, that is, when you're experiencing something, to make it a really distinct memory, a phenomenon called pattern separation should occur in order to distinguish this experience from others.
Now that makes me think of the movie Inside Out, where everyone has five core memories, but I'm starting to think, Stella, that's not exactly what's going on up in my head.
I'm really sorry, but I'm afraid not.
And this probably also debunks that elephants never forget.
Well, to discuss that, we'll probably have to dig into some research about the evolution of the brain development and memory.
Well, Peter Cartharis published The Evolution of Working Memory in 2013, where he discusses how the working memory is fundamental to many aspects of the human life, including learning, speech and text comprehension, planning your future, and forms of reasoning.
He differentiates from sensory short-term memory that these representations can give rise to priming effects without ever being conscious of it. He gives the example of only hearing the clock chime the third time.
And he also differentiates this from the third term, the long-term working memory, which remains readily accessible to the working memory processes and is important for speech and text comprehension, concluding that the ability to remember may be based on survival needs, but even more, it provides us with a sense of self and makes up our continual experience of life.
Although it can be really unreliable.
So here's where that Trace app comes back in. If, like Stella and I, during exam season, pretty much all you do is trot up to the study space, open your laptop, maybe you go down to Munchie Mart and get a snack as a treat for good, laborious behaviour, hydrate and stare out the window in the lead up to your exams, this period of time has a very similar activation patterns for you.
So it feels counterintuitive to say that doing the same thing makes it harder to remember that thing. But when there are slight variations in where you go, who you see, and what time all of that happens, then it gets really hard to start pinpointing details.
And so while you might have a gist of these events, in the case of contact tracing, the gist is a start, but it's not really the best information to have.
In a study by Green in 2009, some conclusions made about episodic memory further prove the unreliability of it.
He looks at eyewitness accounts, and the paper states that often people are overly optimistic about the accuracy of memory retrievals, with a particular deficit in the detail of colours.
As per, we're overestimating how good we are at stuff. And this deficit is a good example of the low resolution of our memory. This research group suggests that people group colour in memories into only 11 categories.
And when you think about the beautiful diversity of perceived colour in real time, that's a shockingly low amount.
The paper stresses that memory is just a reconstruction, not a record. And accuracy of a recall gets worse and worse as time goes on.
All right, Stella, we get it. We don't know everything.
A harsh truth to come to terms with, but hopefully it just reminds you to use the COVID Tracer app because it's way easier in the long term.
We hope you're all staying safe and sound in lockdown.
And stay critical, Earthlings.
Looks like everything's going to be all right.
Tomorrow's World with Isla Christensen and Stella Huggins on 95 BFM.